Okay, good morning. It's a tremendous pleasure to be able to welcome everybody back to our Bialystok or League Holiday Breakfast in Shir. One of the things that's really always quite extraordinary about this whole series is the very fact that it exists. I mean, here we are. I assume most people here are off from work today. There are a million and one things that we could be doing, that we probably have to do, that we probably have been pushing off to do till today. And, you know, before we take care of all of those things, the day starts off with Torah. A bagel, to be sure. And we thank Chaim Meir for the wonderful bagels in Bialys. And Mr. Adams as well, who apparently has something to do with the bagels.
He put it all out.
He put it all out, okay. But besides all the bagels, the rogalach, and all of the gashmias, the physicality which we're having today, it's incredible, and an incredible source of inspiration to all of us to be able to see how many people are willing to come out and be involved in Torah study, which certainly should stand as a schus for all of the attendees, and Bezus Hashem for the shul. Rabbi Yochanan Adler is no stranger to the East Side. He's a person who's born and bred on the streets of Grand and East Broadway, a former Balkare here in the shul itself, and from there he was Ola Lagdulo. He went on, if one can imagine such a thing, to even greater and bigger and better, serving as a Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan Yeshiva University. Of course, he's spoken here before, and it's an absolute pleasure to be able to have him back again to share with us a topic of tremendous importance. When Rabbi Adler and I were speaking about what the topic might be for today, and Rabbi Adler mentioned that he had a number of shiurim on tefillah, we both thought that tefillah is one of those things that always requires chizuk, always requires a certain degree of strengthening, and in particular the end of the davening is something which in any shul, you know, always requires a little bit of strengthening. You know, before we know it, it's going to be Kislev this coming Sunday, and of course in Kislev we have the holiday of Hanukkah. Of course, we all know there's a famous dispute recorded in the Gemara about how to light the Hanukkah licht. So Beis Shammai says poches v'holech, you start off with 8 and you work your way down to 1 at the end of the holiday. Beis Hillel says, again, as we paskin, that mosif v'holech, you start off with 1 and you work your way up to 8 at the end of the holiday. When it comes to Hanukkah, everybody passes like Beis Hillel. When it comes to davening, unfortunately, a lot of people passing like Beis Shammai, that you start off with a bang and you kind of fizzle out as you get down to the end of davening. It's a pleasure to be able to introduce Rabbi Adler, who will teach us to passing like Beis Hillel when it comes to davening as well, that it should be mosif v'holech, adding in strength, and that the end of davening, the Enke Lokenu, should be a source of chizuk and inspiration for us as well. Rabbi Adler.
Rishus Avimori, Rishus Rabbi Ram, Morai Verabosai. I want to begin by thanking you for inviting me to share some thoughts on Enke Lokenu. Perhaps apropos, Rishus Ivi Morasi, you just walked in as well. It's very apropos that I should be speaking about this topic in this very place. I must have recited Enke Lokenu hundreds of times in this very Beis Medrash over the years that I was a Balkore, and I would daven in the Hashkama Minyan and then remain to lane at the second Minyan upstairs. I wish I knew then what I knew now, and I wish that we can maybe retroactively infuse all the Enke Lokenus that we said without proper focus and kavana with what we know later on. But that's what tshuva is all about. In any case, so I would like to share the tremendous symbolism and meaning that lies in this beautiful tefillah. It is almost last, but is anything but least. And hopefully we can all gain that kind of renewed appreciation. I'd like to begin by considering the following issues. First of all, how far back does this tefillah go? Which early Siddurim mention it? Is it something more recent? Does it go back? And how far back? What is the significance of its structure? We know there are 5 stanzas, Ein Kelokeinu, and then you have Mi Kelokeinu, you have Noda Elokeinu, Baruch Elokeinu, Atahu Elokeinu. Each stanza has 4 parts to it. Kelokeinu, Kadonenu, Kimalkeinu, Kimoshienu. Are there different versions, different nuschos that we find specifically in terms of the various stanzas. Another question to think about: when do we say it? When was it intended to be said? As you know, many of us recite Enkel Keinu just on Shabbos and on Yontif. Then there are others who say it every day. So what is this all about? Why those who limit it to Shabbos and Yontif? Finally, the last stanza, Atahu Sheikhtiru Abusenu Fanachas Ktores HaSamim, something of a bridge between Enkel Keinu and Pito Maktores. What is that all about? What is the connection between Enkel Keinu and Pito Maktores? And one last thing to think about is, before Enkel Keinu, you'll notice in the Siddurim, three psukim that precede Enkel Keinu. Kaveh Hashem Chazak V'yamitz Livecha V'kaveh Hashem. Then we have another pasuk, En Kodesh Hashem Kein Biltecha, Kimi Elokam Baldei Hashem. What is that all about? Where did these psukim come from, and why do we say them before starting Enkel Keinu? The early reference to Enkel Keinu can go back to perhaps the first Siddur. The first Siddur was Seder Rav Amram Gon, one of the Gaonim, before the Rishonim. We're talking about the 10th century or so. Rav Amram Gon had Enkel Keinu, but he wouldn't have called it Enkel Keinu. He would have called it Mikel Keinu. It's actually, his first stanza was Mikel Keinu, and his second stanza was Enkel Keinu. That actually makes a lot of sense. Before you say Enkel Keinu, you ask the question, who is like our Hashem, who's like our God? The answer is nobody, Enkel Keinu. Other Rishonim, most Rishonim, I would say, have it our way, starts with Enkel Keinu, and then comes Mikel Keinu. And the Abud Ram offers an interesting acrostic, a way to remember the order to be Ein Kel Keinu and then Mikel Keinu, and then to remember what comes afterwards. Don't forget, not everybody had Sidurim. So then comes Moda, and then we have Baruch and Atta. And he says, you know how you remember that? Take Aleph, Mem, Nun, and you have the word Amen. And then if you go with the next stanza, Baruch, and then Atta. So that's a very neat, nice way to remember how it goes. Amen, Baruch, Atta. Now that's a nice way to remember it, but as we will soon see, it's more than just a mnemonic. It actually has a lot of significance. The Amen, Baruch, Atta. And we'll return to that in a couple of minutes. Something else about Rav Amram Gon Siddur, besides for the fact that he's got Mikel Keinu first, and then Enkel Keinu, he has a different order in what follows. He has Baruch Elokeinu before he has Noda Elokeinu. So it's definitely not Amen Baruch Atta. According to Rav Amram Gon, you've got Mikel Elokeinu, and then Enkel Elokeinu, then you've got Baruch Elokeinu, and then Noda, and then Atta. The Rambam's Nusach is also very different than ours. The Rambam does not have the stanza of Baruch at all. And the Rambam has additional psukim at the end, where he adds, after he says, Atahu Moshienu, Atah Sokum, and you will find this in some Sidurim, Atah Sokum Terachim Tzion, Ki Esachenna Kiva Moed, and then another couple of psukim, Ach Tzadikim, Yodu, Ishmecha, Yeshu Ishram Espanecha, and a couple of other psukim as well. What the Rambam does not have is any connection between Enkel Keinu and Pito Maktores. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But again, most Rishonim have a version that pretty much approximates what we have in our Siddurim. A word about those introductory psukim, Kaveh Hashem, and then En Kodesh Kashem. Rav Amram Gon doesn't have it. The Rambam doesn't have it. The Abud Ram, one of the main Rishonim that quoted often by the Beis Yosef and others, he has two of those psukim, the last two, En Kodesh Kashem Kein Biltecha, and then Ki Mi Eloka Mi Baladei Hashem. En Kodesh Kashem is, by the way, from Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, Shira Chana. And then the other pasuk, Ki Mi Eloka, is from Shmuel, is from Tehillim Yudches, the song that David sang when he was victorious over his enemies. Now the connection in those two psukim is pretty obvious, because what we're emphasizing is there's nobody like a Kodesh Baruch Hu to save us. En Kodesh Kashem Ki Ein Biltecha, that's really what Enkel Keinu is saying. And similarly the pasuk afterwards, Ki Mi Elokam Baldei Hashem. Where did Kaveh Hashem come in? Much more recently, the Arizal added the Kaveh El Hashem pasuk, and it's not clear why. Possibly it's been suggested because we also say, as we know in our davening, Ki Lishuascha Kivinu Kol Hayom, We are waiting, and the pasuk, of course, in Vayichi, the bracha of Yaakov, Vishuascha, Kivisi Hashem. So we're talking about Hashem saving us, Atahu Moshienu. So we have the Kave El Hashem to introduce the two psukim, and then in Kilokeinu. Okay, when was this meant to be said? Daily, weekly, day, night? So when we consider this issue, we have to also do so in conjunction with Pitum HaKtores, which often comes together with Enke Elokeinu. When do we say Pitum HaKtores? So the Torah, we know, was offered in the Beis HaMikdash twice a day. It's called Torah Shel Shachar and Torah Shel Bein Harabayim. The Ramah in Hilchos Tefillah, in Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, talks about when to say Pitum HaKtores. He says you say it in the morning and you say it in the evening. And the Ramah adds that you say before Pitum HaKtores Ein Kelokeinu. So it would seem from the Ramah that one would be saying Ein Kelokeinu followed by Pitum HaKtores twice a day, morning and evening. In other words, clearly Ein Kelokeinu and Pitum HaKtores go together as a package, and when you say Pitum HaKtores, you start off by saying Ein Kelokeinu. But then the Ramah adds something very interesting. That is what he originally says. You say it twice a day. But then there are many who don't say Pitum HaKtores every day. And why is that? That is because people, not like today when we have a holiday, but typically on a weekday, you're rushing to work. And because you're rushing to work, you're not really going to give it the right kavana. You're not going to have the right thought when you say Pitum HaKtores. And Pitum HaKtores has to be said very carefully, because we know when it comes to the Ktores, you can't leave out even one of the ingredients. At the stakes are very high. When we say Pitum HaKtores, it's reenacting in some way the offering of the Ktores. If we want to play with this kind of an issue, you can't say it right, you can't say it slowly, don't say it at all. And therefore, the Ramah says, Shabbos, Yantif, we don't go to work, we say Pitum HaKtores, and then Enkel Kenu before it. However, this is why the Ramah says many people do not say Pitum HaKtores every day. What about Eretz Yisrael? They do say it every day, right? So it occurred to me, what's another difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, at least for Ashkenazim? Nesias Kapayim. Certainly a personal a topic that I like to talk about too, for another opportunity maybe. Nesias Kapayim, Birchas Kohanim, we don't do it every day, but in Eretz Yisrael they do. And there's a lot of discussion about that. The Ramah points out his, you could say almost apologetic answer why we don't have it every day out of Eretz Yisrael, because we don't have the spirit of Ava and Simcha, because our mind is on Parnassa and the pressure that comes with having to earn a living. Apparently Eretz Yisrael doesn't have that problem. I don't know who you ask, but somehow Eretz Yisrael is above that. And yet, therefore, the problem doesn't exist. At least, you know, we can be more focused on doing it with Simcha. Yes?
We do it every day, the Simcha.
Fire didn't do it, 100%, and you've got it right. I agree. This is all after the fact. You know, we don't do it, Ashkenazim don't do it for hundreds of years, and all kinds of reasons have been given. This is one of the reasons to kind of explain the minhag. But you're right. Ideally, the mitzvah should exist every day. In any case, so here as well, we see that in Eretz Yisrael, somehow that reasoning did not actually carry over. People do say in Kilkenu, and the Sfardim also do it, even not just the Sfardim, even those who daven in the Sach Sfard, every day. But this is apparently what had evolved, and this is the reason given by the Ramah. In any case, you would therefore, according to the Ramah, technically should say it morning and evening, but the minhag is not, and when in the evening, when in the morning is also discussion after Shacharis, after Musaf. We usually say it after Musaf. What about in the evening, after Mincha, after Meir? A lot of discussion about that as well. In any event, the minhag has become for Ashkenazim not to say it every day, the reason given by the Ramah. But there's another reason. It is also quite fascinating. The reason of the Ramah, after all, speaks to Pitum HaKtores. Yes, you don't say Pitum HaKtores, you don't say Enkel Kenu either. There's a whole other reason of why many do not recite Enkel Kenu every day. This is a reason specific to Enkel Kenu. This is based on a Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Gimel. The idea called Meya Brachos, a recipe for success. Meya Brachos. pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Me'imach. What is Hashem asking of you? And goes on to talk about, you know, the recipe for spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yiras Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and so on. So the Gemara says, Ma is Mem He. Read it Me'a, which is 100. Hashem is asking of you 100 blessings a day. And there is the Rishonim take this very seriously, and it's codified in the Shulchan Aruch, the idea of Me'a Brachos. How you get 100 is a whole separate discussion, a whole separate shiur. Obviously, you got Shemoneh Esrei 3 times a day. That gives us the bulk of it. You have Birchas HaShachar, you have Birchas HaTorah, and you have Suda that you have, Birchas HaMazon. At the end of the day, one way or the other, we're going to get to 100. There's a tremendous significance to saying 100 brachos a day. But the Gemara there points out, there's a problem when it comes to Shabbos and Yantif, because you're short brachos. After all, Shabbos, the Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei, is not 18 or 19 as we have it, rather 7 brachos. So therefore, if you calculate 7 vis-a-vis 18, that would mean you're short 11. If you calculate 7 vis-a-vis 19, you're short 12. And we're talking about Ma'ariv, we're talking about Shacharis, we're talking about Mincha. Now, Musaf gives us something back, but at the end of the day, we're missing brachos. So the Rishonim say that what we're doing in Kilkenu is trying to make up, for symbolically at least, this is not actually a bracha, but it counts for a bracha, and when you get to St. Kilkenu, you're going to be able to fill the gap. The question is how? And there's some very creative ways to explain this. Before I tell you that, though, let me also add something quite interesting. Back to the Kaveh Hashem that we begin with. Someone has suggested that the letters that you find in these three psukim, Kaveh Hashem, followed by En Kadosh Hashem, followed by Ki Mi Eloka, how many letters? 100 letters. The first pasuk has 30 letters, Kaveh Hashem, that's what the Arizal added, and then the following two psukim have 35 letters each, so maybe the Arizal had that in mind as well. By adding Kaveh Hashem, he knew we have 70, we have to add a pasuk of 30. Appropriate pasuk is Kaveh Hashem, again, the number 100. How do we get the missing brachos out of En Kilokeinu? So there's one school of Rishonim that do it as follows. How much are we missing symbolically when we think about Shemoneh Esrei? So if a normal Shemoneh Esrei is 19 brachos during the week, and Shabbos is only 7, so we are missing 12. So En Kilokeinu is going to give us the concept of 12 brachos. How so? Well, remember that acrostic that we began with before. Remember, Aleph, Mem, Nun, Amen. Baruch Ata. Now, what you have here is each stanza, right, has 4 parts. Ein Telokeinu, Ein Kadonenu, Ein Kimalkinu, Ein Kimoshienu. That's 4. Then you have the Mem of the Amen. 4. There's another 4. That's 8. And then you have the Nun, no de Lokeinu, no de Nenu, no de Makeinu, de Mosheinu, and that is 12. What gives us the connection, the association with the bracha? There's Amen, there's Baruch, there's Ata, and there's the number 12 embedded in it, and that represents the missing 12 brachos that Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos lacks vis-a-vis during the week. That is one school of Rishonim. So therefore, En Kilkenu is somehow connected with the missing 12 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. There's another way to work this out. The Kolbo and other Rishonim do it a different way. They say, look, Shemoneh Esrei, by its very definition, is 18. Okay, we say 19. So what we really have to think about is the number 18. Shabbos is, of course, 7. That gives us a missing number of 11, not 12, 11. But now we have to look at every specific Shemoneh Esrei, not just the concept of how many are missing in Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos, but specifically how many Shemoneh Esrei. We have Ma'ariv, and we have Shacharis, and we have Mincha. And again, each Shemoneh Esrei is missing from 7 to 18, because 18 is the number that Shemoneh Esrei is supposed to be, ideally. So that's 11 times 3. That gives us, we've got a math, 33. But now, wait a second, we've got Musaf. Now Musaf gives us back 7. So from 33, we can deduct 7, and that's going to give us 26. But now we can give ourselves back another 6, and that's because we have an extra meal on Shabbos. And what do we call that meal? Shalashudis. Shalashudis gives us 6 extra brachos, because you've got Tios Yadayim and Hamotzi, and then 4 brachos of benching, and therefore we only have to make up for 20. Now, how do you see 20 in Enkel Okeinu? Very obvious. You have 5 stanzas, Enkel Okeinu, each, and so on, and 4 parts for each stanza. There are 20 bullet praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Enkel Okeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's 4. 5 times 4 is 20, says the Kobo and other Rishonim. That corresponds to the missing number 20 that we're missing because of the Shemona Esrei of Shabbos, even giving back Shalosh Shudos and Musaf. We make it up with the 20 praises of Enkel Okeinu. So there are Rishonim, quite honestly, that are asking the question that probably is in many of your minds. This is something of a stretch. Something of a stretch. I mean, this is like not exactly a bracha. How does this count as a bracha? And somehow it doesn't quite resonate. And the answer obviously must be that we're not talking about the formal structure of a bracha, but we're talking about on a symbolic level, we're trying to remind ourselves that we're missing brachos, and sometimes even a praise can have the power of a bracha, and when we say these praises, we can get ourselves back to that feeling that we're praising Kadosh Baruch Hu and bring us back to what we're missing because we don't have naturally the 100 brachos. I'd like to really take it on a deeper level and see how what we just said brings us back to the connection between Enkel Okeinu and Pita Maktores. In the Ramah, we saw an obvious connection. The Ramah says you don't say Pita Maktores every day, so you don't say Enkel Okeinu every day. Obviously, the two are linked. If we look at Enkel Okeinu as a way of making up what's missing on Shabbos and Yontif with Mea Brachos, then at first glance it doesn't really have to do with Pita Maktores, and yet it seems to have a connection. After all, the very last stanza after Atahu Moshienu, we have this bridge, Atahu Sheiktiru Avosenu Torah Asamin. Now some will say, well, maybe that's not really part of Enkel Okeinu. If you look at the old Siddur HaGra, they point out that this is really the beginning of Pita Maktores, except that the Siddurim put it at the end of Enkel Okeinu. But even if so, why did they start with Atahu? Because they meant to bridge the two tefillos, whether you consider it part of Enkel Okeinu or the beginning of Pita Maktores, they meant to put them together. So Atahu Moshienu, Atahu Shehiktiru. So again, that means that there's got to be some connection between these two tefillos. Although the Rambam obviously would not agree, but everybody else seems to see the two tefillos as connected. And again, almost all the Rishonim do have Atahu Shehiktiru, Atahu Shehikrivu. So what would be the connection? This question was asked of the Noda B'Yehuda. It was usually dealing with Shilas of more weighty issues, but this is a question that was asked him. Why do we say Atahu Shehiktiru, and why do we say Enkel Okeinu next to Pita Maktores? So the Noda B'Yehuda says a very interesting answer. This is something hopefully we can begin to really bring into our own lives. Ktores has a special quality to it. The Gemara says that Ktores is a sgula for wealth. Ktores ma'asheres. Ktores brings wealth into a person's life. Those Kohanim who participated in bringing the Ktores would win a lottery, I guess. They would do well. And therefore they would not offer it to people who already done it. They would want to offer it to rookies, people who haven't done it yet. They have to teach them how to do it, not to burn themselves, but not people who've done it already, because give other people a chance. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, why do we say Enkel Okeinu before Pita Maktores? In order to remind ourselves, if you're going to get rich, it's not because of your own judgment and your own intellect and your own abilities and your own success. It's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Enkel Okeinu. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why He blessed you with what He blessed you. Don't think it's you. The Yehuda Rav Yochanan, one of the Rishonim, takes the same idea in a variation of it. He says, don't think the Ktores itself has some magical power. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that does it. The Ktores is the way it happens. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us the wealth. So this is a beautiful thought. I'd want to expand on this a little bit. I think we can develop in a slightly different direction. This is not just about getting the wrong idea. We don't want to think that It's because of us. We've earned it. It's our abilities that have brought down the wealth. Not just that, but actually, to the extent that we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of our success, to that extent, we become worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings. We open up, if you could say, the channels of blessing, of bracha, to come down on us because we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who gives us all these gifts. And these ideas you find in many different sources in the Rishonim, for example, and beyond. Think about the idea of benching. And the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch points out that benching is the mitzvah of Yachalta v'savata v'irachta, is the idea that if we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who gave us everything that we have, we allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to give us, that we become worthy recipients of His bounty and His blessing. Let's tie this idea back to the idea of Mea Brachos. The significance of making 100 brachos a day, what is that all about? The pasuk says, "V'ata ma Hashem elokecha shor me'imach." What is Hashem asking of you? 100 brachos. Ki in yira. Only that you should fear Hashem. What are the purposes of making a bracha? Wherever you go, you bump into a bracha. You get up in the morning, you say birchas hashachar, you go to shul, you say more brachos. You eat a meal, you say brachos. The idea is to be surrounded by an experience of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Yiras Hashem. Wherever you go, you acknowledge Shavis Hashem Unagdi Tamid. Hashem is there with me. Hashem is taking me by the hand. Hashem is blessing me. And this is what allows us to be able to be zoche, to merit Hashem's brachos. That's what opens up the channels of the brachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral writes that the number 100 symbolizes wealth. And you know where you find that? You find it in this week's parsha. Yitzchak, as you know, was very successful. And what does the pasuk tell us? Vayimtza b'shana ahi. We all know the name of the neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael, but it starts from the pasuk in Toldos. Me'ah sha'arim. 80 gates. Or 80 measure. 100. I'm sorry. 100. 100. 100. At least nobody's sleeping here. 100. 100 gates or 100 measures. This is Yitzchak. This is 100. So notice the power of 100, the power of bracha, and the power of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who gives the bracha. Let's think about Ketores for a second. Ketores and Mea Brachos have something very much in common. Ketores has a certain power, to, not just for bracha, in the positive, but to thwart, chas v'shalom, the opposite, klala. When we have a plague, what does it take to stop the plague? We know Parshas Korach, there was a plague that broke out at the end after Korach's rebellion. People were still complaining and the plague broke out. And then Moshe tells Aaron, right now, hurry up and offer Ketores. After Aaron did that, the plague ceased. Ketores stops death, stops suffering, stops the plague. That's why, by the way, it's considered such a svuah to say Pitama Ketores. Some people say it from a cloth written on, you know, on a parchment, where a sefer would write it. It has a special svuah to be saving a person from chas v'shalom kinds of misfortune. Where else do we find the idea of stopping a plague? Lo and behold, regarding Mea Brachos as well. Where did it begin? We have the pasuk from Moshe Rabbeinu, but Chazal attribute the institution of Mea Brachos to none other than David HaMelech. David HaMelech saw, says the Medrash, that people were dying. If you go to Shmuel Beis at the very end, you have the story there when David discovers the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom of the Mizbeach, and he purchases it. So in that story, there is a plague that had broken out at the end of David's life, and the Medrash tells us that David felt, what are we going to do? There were 100 people dying a day. And who come all, says the pasuk. David describes himself as the person who's been established above. What is the word all? Ayin lamid. We say el al, all, above. 100. So the Midrashim tell us, the Torah quotes this Medrash, that David was mitakein, that the Jews should say 100 brachos. Now, we didn't have the formula in the same way that we know today, Baruch Atah Hashem. The concept of 100 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu a day originated in some way with David HaMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu already alluded to it. David instituted it, and it took on a greater form and structure with the Anshik Nesagdola, and so on, and we have the brachos that we say. And why did David do this? Because he wanted to prevent and stop the plagues that had broken out. Torahs and Mea Brachos have a tremendous common theme. And the idea again is because both acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the power of all powers. Torahs is really that idea as well. There's nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. He can do anything, and therefore he can stop any problems and he can give us bracha at his will. We have Rosh Chodesh coming up on Sunday. I want to bring in another dimension to this, based on a language that's used in a Sefer Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim. Believe it or not, one of the Rishonim, the Baalei Tosfos, he posed questions to heaven. Maybe under his pillow, he wrote the question, and he got an answer. And this is a Sefer that you can find and purchase, called Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim. Now, there was a question that he asked regarding whether we should say a bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. As you may know, there are those who hold that Svaradim, I believe, do not make a bracha Asher Kidshanu, we cross a Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because it's a minhag to say Hallel Rosh Chodesh in the Berachin al HaMinhag. Therefore, you don't say the bracha before Hallel, and the practice of Ashkenazim is to say the bracha. Now, the question was asked by one of the Baalei Tosfos, should we make a bracha before Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? And I want to quote to you the answer that he has, because the answers always came in a riddle. And then you have to figure out what, you know, they didn't speak, you know, this Kosh Baruch Hu, Kama Yachol speaks in a certain way that you have to understand what the message is. So what exactly was the answer? The answer was, Hodaticha, I've told you already many times, Ki Birchosein Shel Yisrael, the blessings of Jews, Kiktores Hein Lefanai, they are like Torah. You say more, you say less, as long as your kavan is in the right place. But if you say more and you say the brachos, beautiful. It smells sweet, it's ketores. Why this particular analogy? The brachos of Jews are like ketores. So there's a very interesting Gemara in Chulin Peizayin Amid Aleph. The notion of stealing someone's bracha. Imagine the following scenario. Person shechs a bird, and what's the mitzvah that comes with it? Besides shechting, shechting itself is not a mitzvah per se. We make a bracha on shechting, but there is a mitzvah that comes after shechting a bird. That is to cover the blood. Kisui hadam. When you do the mitzvah kisui hadam, you have to make a bracha. Suppose somebody runs in at that minute, and covers the blood, makes the bracha and covers the blood, and deprives you, who shechted the bird, of making that bracha. So he stole your bracha. You can imagine it happening in some other scenario, right? Person gets about to get an aliyah, and he's about to make the bracha, and someone comes in, pushes him away, and makes the bracha. I suppose you can imagine all kinds of scenarios like this. But here's the Gemara story. Anyway, the Gemara says that one of the Amorayim find the person who deprived the other one of his bracha, and he had him pay Yud Zehuvim, 10 gold pieces. And the Gemara discusses what is the nature of this penalty of 10 Zehuvim. Is it because he deprived him of the mitzvah, or because he deprived him of the bracha? The Gemara concludes it's because he deprived him of the bracha, which means we have a formula that a bracha has a value, and exactly why this value is beyond me, but obviously some tremendous symbolism here. A bracha has a monetary value called asara zehuvin, 10 gold coins. Many of the Rishonim take this formula and this allusion very seriously and find support to this connection between a bracha and 10 zehuvin from various psukim in the Torah. And I want to share with you one of or two of these remarks and these allusions. One of the hints that the Rishonim bring is from a pasuk that we all know very well, because we're going to hear it in a couple of weeks on Chanukah many, 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 many times, and that is the following pasuk: Kaf achas asara zahav leya ketores. Now they focus on the beginning of the pasuk, Kaf achas asara zahav, the first four words, and listen to what the Rishonim say. It's not a Chassidus Rebbe talking; these are Rishonim. Kaf is two letters, Kaf and Pei, and what is the value of the two letters, Kaf and Pei? 100. No, here it's, here you have an 80 and you have a 20. Kaf, not Kuf, we'll get to Kuf, we'll get to Kuf too, don't worry. Kaf, Pei, here's a good trivia question for kids. Kaf and Pei equals Kuf, okay? Kaf and Kuf have something in common. If you write the word Kaf out, you get Kuf, but that's not what I want to talk about, right? Kaf is 100, fine. Achas is 1. 1 out of 100, what idea comes to mind, knowing what we know right now? 1 out of 100 means a bracha, because there's a concept of mea brachos. So if you want to break it down into the units, 100 brachos, 1 out of 100 means a bracha. What is the value of a bracha? The bracha pasuk continues. That is a hint. Many Rishonim cite to the Gemara in Chulin that a bracha has a value of 10 gold pieces, because kaf achas, 1 out of 100, meaning 1 bracha out of mea brachos, equals asara zahav. Now, if you go with that a remez, let's just finish the pasuk. It's beautiful. Meleya ketores, filled with ketores. That's the language of the Shevus HaTruas Min HaShamayim. Brachos of Klal Yisrael are considered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like ketores. It's exactly the point. The same exact allusion to Mea Brachos and to 1 out of 100 is the concept of ketores. Now, there's another point, a variation of this. Rashi, Parshas Naso, talks about ketores and says, you know, ketores is connected with the number 613. Oh yeah? Gematria of Ketores is 613? There's only one problem. How do you make Ketores into 613? What letter is the problem here? The three final letters of Ketores are perfect, right? Kuf, Tes, Resh, Tav. The Resh Tav is 600, right? The second letter of Ketores is a Tes at 609. What we need now is a Dalet. But what do we have in the beginning of the word? A Kuf. No problem, says Rashi. Kuf and Dalid can flip. How can they flip? Atash! You know the Aleph Beis can be arranged. You can flip what position from Aleph to Taf, from Beis to Shin, from Gimel to Reish, from Dalid to Kuf. They're interchangeable, right, on either end. So therefore, take the Kuf, flip it to the counterpart of Advash, you get a Dalid, and then take the entire word, Kuf switches with David and leave everything else the same, and you get Taryag. Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal has a sefer called Mayan Beis HaShoev, and he wonders, you know, why are we flipping the Kuf with the Dalet exactly? Like, I understand it works, but like, why pick the Kuf and, you know, make that the one to switch? How does that figure in over here? And he says, you know why? Because the Kuf represents 100 brachos. That's the number that we always think about when we think about 100. Now, the idea of 100 brachos have at their core the notion of 4 brachos. 100 brachos, pretty much, that we say are derabbanos, right? But that's because the formula for brachos are derabbanos. But there are 4 brachos that you can identify as being brachos min haTorah. And what are they? They are birchas haTorah, according to the Ramban, is a bracha do raisa. Birchas HaTorah. What else? Birchas HaMazon, of course. That's 2. What? Doesn't mention that. He says, Hafrashas Meiser. Varti Mitzvah of Losh HaChachti. Rashi says, to bless you. And he says, Tefillah, which is the idea of davening to Hashem, the idea of making a bracha to Hashem. Tefillah is essentially a Doraisa. So you can look at the 100 and connect it to Dalet because of the idea of 4 core brachos on a Doraisa level that correspond to the symbolic of the 100 that the Rabbanan might have been mitake. So, but why, again, why the Kuf of Ketores connecting to Mea Brachos? Because the exact connection that we're making between Ketores and Brachos. And that's why the Kuf of Ketores is itself associated with the Dalid and the Mea Brachos idea, which may be on some level connect to 4 brachos. One other hint that I want to leave you with, and nice trivia, last week's parasha. Eliezer finds Rivka at the well. Lo and behold, she's clearly the one. He's astonished and he's floored by her. and he gives her what seems to be a gift. What does he give her? The pasuk tells us he gives her nezem zav beka mishkal shnit smidim al yadeh, two bracelets, asara zahav mishkalim. Happens to have the value of 10 gold pieces. Not a coincidence. Remember, asara zav is what we saw in connection to a bracha. So, many Rishonim say, not one, not two, a couple of Rishonim say that this was not so much a gift from Eliezer to Rivka, but this was Eliezer acknowledging that he owed her something worth asara zahav. How come? Why do you owe it to her? Because she would be the person that would trigger him to make a bracha. She caused him to mivarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know. He says, Baruch Hashem, Elokei Adonai Avraham, the power of a bracha. She was responsible for his bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, she is owed asara zahav mishkalam, the bracelet's worth asara zahav. Now, what else did he give her? Besides the bracelets, he also gave her a nose ring. And where is the nose ring going? Al apa, on her nose. But what else does the word af mean, and what does it associate with in our minds? Think of a pasuk in Parsha Zos HaBracha. Yasimu ketorah be'apecha. The Levim in place ketores be'apecha. And as some explain it, also in light of what we said before, Ketores has the power to stem the tide of wrath, of suffering, of anger. Even when you have a time of magefa and suffering, Ketores can be a stopgap measure for that. And therefore, here as well, in connecting to asara zahav and the power of a bracha, there was also a hint, an allusion to Ketores in the form of the nose ring that he gave her, al apa. I want to conclude with a couple of words from the Sefer called Seder Hayom. Seder Hayom was authored by Rav Moshe Rav Yehuda Machir at the time of the Arizal. He had a yeshiva just outside of Tzvat, and he basically goes through what a Jew should think about any given day of the year, special days and regular days, and he has some very, very beautiful ideas that are filled, that appear in his Sefer. And he mentions in Kelokeinu, and he says, Yomar en kelokeinu v'hu shivach. It is a praise, ra'oy l'daktig bo. It's worthy of being very careful in reading it. U'omro mila b'mila. To say it word for word. And there's tremendous hints to the four letters of Hashem's name. In each stanza you've got the four parts. And it has tremendous meaning. And the one who does so and recites it appropriately, says the Seder Hayom, Ashrav v'ashri chelko, fortunate is one who says it every day, and tremendous reward in store for such a person. So the Ezra Hashem, having gotten a little bit of an appreciation of En Kelokeinu, we should be able to inspire ourselves to appreciate the power of a Jew's bracha, the weight that it carries. Every bracha that we say, every bracha, who are we? No, we're a lot. It counts for a lot. Every bracha that we say, every prayer that we say in shul, even at the very end of davening, an innocuous prayer like En Kelokeinu, look how much lies in that. It's almost last, but it's certainly not least, as the expression of Yogi Berra goes, right? It ain't over till it's over. It should be Zoche. We're going to say Sum Birchas HaChodesh, another Tfilah topic. We're going to ask Emet Hashem this Shabbos for Chayim Arukim, Chayim Shel Shalom, but also Chayim Shel Yiras Shamayim V'Yiras Chet. That's what it takes. Kiyim Hashem Al-Kach HaShom, Kiyim Yiras Hashem, the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's Chus. We should have Chayim Sheimale Hashem Mishalos Yisainu Tova Amin. Amen.
I want to thank Rabbi Adler for an extraordinary shiur. I have the opportunity in about 1 minute to follow up on the message of shiur with Birkas HaMazel.